Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have one of my favorite events of the month. We got the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce in here, and I got the lovely Beth Summers as my co-host today.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fabulous, and you've brought some lovely ladies with you today.
I have.
But what have you been up to in the meantime? What's going on with Dunwoody?
Dunwoody is very alive. A lot of things happening. We just had a State of the City last Thursday night, when the mayor spoke and gave an address to the businesses and the city and the community itself.
Well, we had him in here not too long ago, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome. I've met a couple mayors in my life, but he really seems integral. He really cares about the community, and he's really there to help grow it. He's not what you would think a stereotypical politician of padding
exactly.
his pockets.
Exactly. His last line of the State of the City was, "I love Dunwoody." And that's exactly, aww, that describes
that's
him
powerful
perfectly.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So what else is going on? I know you always have events going on.
We do. We have a lot of events, and I can go through them really quick for this week. Tonight we have something new. It's a ladies' night, and it's between the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce Women's Group and the Sandy Springs Women's Group, and that is at 5:30 at Capitol Grill.
Okay.
And we have over 75 people registered for it, so we're very excited. And tomorrow night we have a joint luncheon with the Sandy Springs Chamber. In the Dunwoody Chamber, and Chris Walter, COO of the Weather Channel, will be speaking, and that's at Villa Christina.
Okay.
March 12th, we have a ribbon cutting for Keyworth Bank, and the Y-Pods, our young professionals, will be at Farmburger at 6 p.m. And March 18th, our Dunwoody Chamber and Heels luncheon, our monthly luncheon at McKendrick's with Jerry King. And the topic is, you will know her by her look.
Ooh, I like it. We're going to have to talk about that.
I knew you would like that, Kevin.
Well, we brought some of the Chamber and Heels ladies here with us
today.
And it's the event I'm always most jealous about because I'm not allowed to go. And it's at McKendrick's, and we know how great McKendrick's is.
Yeah.
So, but introduce us to some of the guests you brought.
Well, great. Mom, we'll start with Karen Cannon. We all know Karen Cannon and Dunwoody Realty. So I'm going to just let her go ahead and speak.
Okay. Great to be here.
Good, thank
My
you.
Name is Karen Cannon. I own Karen Cannon Realtors in Dunwoody, residential real estate firm. And we specialize in Dunwoody, Sandy Springs, and North Fulton. And I also chair the Dunwoody Chamber and Heels Group.
Perfect.
Great to be here.
And we also have Mary Jane Caldwell with Lady Jane Custom Footwear. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Definitely. All right. And last but definitely not least, we have Tracy Sampson with Tracy with an Eye Graphic Design LLC.
Yes, that's me.
Awesome.
Hello.
Well, great. Well, we're going to start with Karen today just so she can tell us a little bit about the Chamber and Heels event.
Well, we are excited about tonight's event because it is new, and we will be joining women, businesswomen from both the Sandy Springs and Dunwoody Chambers. So that will be a new event, and I'm excited to do a group event with them because I think we can find some synergy there. And the main purpose is to network with other businesswomen, but also have fun and also be a part of the community. Our monthly luncheons are held the third Tuesday of every month at McKendrick's, and we've had some great topics over the past few months, and we've grown the attendance. We now have on average about 30 attendees every month and growing.
Well, and also talk about it, because you guys do, it's not like when people say networking mixer, it has a negative connotation. A lot of people don't like it, but you guys are really just a community really there.
Right. We're a group of women, business women. And they're local, and a lot of them are entrepreneurs. Some of them are in the corporate world. We come together just to, network is talking with others. I think we have found people hooking up people with other job opportunities. People have gotten business from it. And I think it's also a way for women to come together for something that's very relevant as far as a speaking engagement. Every month we do different topics, and they can be from a personal level, a business level, all different kinds. And I think every time I go there, I glean some great information that can help me personally or professionally.
All right. So who do you guys have speaking this time? I know Beth mentioned the question, and it was a great question for this luncheon, but who's coming to speak?
So Jerry King, and she is an image consultant, and the topic is You Will Know Her by Her Look. And Jerry is, you'll know her when she walks in the room. She is dressed beautifully and has a great image and style, and I think she wants to convey that to the attendees of what they can do to give off your best image in the business world.
All right. Well, how long have you been doing Chamber and Heels, and what benefits have you really gained from it?
This is my second year in it, going in my third year, actually. And the benefits are I've really met some wonderful women on a personal and business level. I've gotten business from it. I've helped other people get business. And I've also been able to get a lot of great information from the speakers every month. And I think I've gotten great information and being a part of the community. We also like to give back. We also, our group in particular, helps with the Christmas for Kids program done with the Dunwoody Police. And we've been involved with that the last few years. And it's been great opportunity for everybody.
That seems great. How are you guys really getting the word out? I know you guys have 30. You guys are growing quickly. But you like to have 60 by next year, right? Just help as many women as you guys can?
Well, we probably have 60 or that come on a regular basis, but not everybody can attend the monthly luncheons.
Okay.
We had a happy hour recently, and I think we had over 35 that attended at Marlowe's. Tonight we have 75 coming, but we get the word out through the chamber. We also each do individual marketing. We have a Facebook page within the chamber. We also, I do my own marketing with all the contacts that I have. I know Tracy and Mary Jane do as well, and I think that helps get the word out through our connections.
Do you know most everyone that comes to these luncheons? You get to know them pretty intimately?
You can. There's new people every month. I love that. There's returning members, but every month there's someone new that got referred by somebody who enjoyed it.
Or when we get new members.
Uh-huh. Yes, and new members to the chamber and new Chamber and Heels members.
Well, what would you say to one of those new members that might be scared to come to one of these events? Or that's not really their thing. They don't like to go out. They don't like to talk to people. What would you say about that? Your event's different from everyone else's.
I had the same thought myself in joining something like that. I mean, I'm being honest. And you walk in and you think, oh, you know, I don't know anyone here. I've done that with different events. I will tell you, this group is the most welcoming group. If there's anybody there that doesn't know anybody, I feel like everyone's so welcoming and is interested in learning what they do. And I think everyone feels comfortable and at ease, because I've had some of my associates come and they thought, what a great group of women.
Well, I've interviewed a lot of different strong businesswomen here, and something holds true, which is amazing, because guys don't do it at all. They'll kick someone when they're down. But you guys are so collaborative. You'll help people out. You really genuinely care about the other women businesses. Like, you guys stick together.
Yes, I think we're there. I mean, I love being able to hook other people up with business. I had a client of mine that just came recently starting a small bakery and was able to connect her with some other folks. And I feel like that's a great value that you can bring is to help other people out in the community with their small business.
Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Karen Cannon Realtors, Inc. and how that's going.
Everything is going great. We are, we've been in business for over 10 years, and my husband and I started the business. We've just opened up our offices in Dunwoody Village, in between Marlowe's and First Watch, and we'll do a grand opening and ribbon cutting soon. And we're growing and serving the community and giving back, and we love it. And business has been fabulous.
Definitely. The market's really, really becoming a lot stronger now. There was that rough patch. I know my parents had their own real estate company as well, and I saw that rough patch. But it's rebounded pretty well.
It has. It has. So much so that there's just not enough homes for enough buyers out there. But we're being creative and helping people find homes.
Well,
so.
Definitely. Well, I don't know if you saw the study. I think it was like U-Haul or Budget did a study where the most moving trucks were coming, and every year Atlanta's number one, so I guess you love that.
I love it, and Dunwoody's very popular right now. I think we have more businesses here than even downtown Charlotte right now in the perimeter area, and I think that we're feeling that. People want to live close to home. They don't want to have large commutes, and they're buying homes in Dunwoody and the surrounding areas.
Well, definitely. The prices are good, and Dunwoody has a community. It's not a huge, big city, but it's still got that sort of city feel to it, and it's a quaint little, nice little city, too.
It is. Small town, but located conveniently to anywhere, and excellent schools, and a great sense of community, and a lot of families are coming here because of that, so...
All right, so how long have you been a member of the chamber? Still 2 years also?
No, we've been a member of the chamber since it started. So
5 years.
5 years.
Wow.
Our company
has.
So
you've seen it change and evolve and sort of grow from the little baby to the lady it is now.
Yes, and it's been great. And we've had, honestly, professionally in our business, we've gotten a lot of value out of it. Just as our business has grown, we've grown with the chamber, and we attend the events and have made some great connections that way.
All right. Well, Karen, how can our listeners sort of reach out and contact you?
They can go to KarenCannon.com or call our office at 770-352-9658. And if anyone is interested in buying or selling, give us a call.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Beth, I want to check in with you real fast. I keep hearing whisperings, and people keep mentioning that you're doing a lot with the Sandy Springs Chamber. Are you guys going to evolve in just one chamber? Because you guys are just so friendly with each other.
We are friendly. I wouldn't say that we're going to join forces completely right now, but you know, the lines are so fine, and the chamber, the cities are so close. And with the perimeter area being the second largest business community in the state of Georgia, it just makes sense for us to work together to promote business as a whole and not be divided completely.
Well, definitely. You can't really tell when you go from Dunwoody to Sandy Springs. You guys keep it pretty homey and nice.
And the line is very fine, and it zigzags through the perimeter area. So.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Mary Jane Caldwell with Lady Jane Custom Footwear. Welcome to the show. I love that name, Lady Jane Custom Footwear.
Thank you very much.
So tell me a little bit about your business and how you got involved with the Chamber.
Well, the Chamber I've been involved with for at least, I believe, 3-4 years, and I was on the original steering committee for the Chamber in heels, and it was irresistible. I make heels, so I'm there.
You invented the name. You're like, this is the name of it.
That's right. And my company makes dress shoes for women on a custom made-to-order basis, and all of our styles are, believe it or not, designed to be pain-free.
Wow, that's a huge thing right there. So they can look stylish, they can look attractive, and they can also be comfortable.
Exactly.
So that's a huge thing. So you sort of saw, you had some entrepreneurial spirit, you saw a pain point in women. You're like, well, this doesn't make sense that we have to wear these heels, and we love the heels, but we are not comfortable in them. That's unacceptable, so I'm going to fix that.
Well, you're very sensitive to this. Most men don't understand that. But it was really my own distress that gave me the idea in the first place. And I didn't own a pair of heels that didn't become a handicap after the first hour that I had them on. And doctors began telling me that foot problems that I had were all in connection with the shoes I was wearing. And it just occurred to me that something needed to be done about this situation. And I started researching. I started talking with pedorthists, with manufacturers, with shoe designers, with doctors, foot surgeons, and it took me a long, winding way to get to where I am currently in my business.
So basically, you didn't know anything about making shoes before you started this. You said, I'm just going to attack this. It's a problem. I'm going to solve it no matter what.
Yes, and I did not have a design background, a manufacturing background. I had no connections in the shoe business, and I'd never been an entrepreneur.
Okay, well, do you mentor any young ladies coming out that want to start their own business? Because I think you'd be perfect to mentor them.
Well, thank you. I don't know if anyone wants to care to be quite that groundbreaking. It's very difficult.
Well, it's scary and difficult.
It's
definitely
scary, exactly.
But still, there's great ideas. We had like a 19-year-old that like builds robotics. She came in here and she's doing all these things. But there's a lot of girls out there that want to code, do different business oriented stuff, and they're smart. But then they sort of have the world working against them, saying, "Well, you can't do that," or any kid for that matter. They are saying, "Oh, that's not unrealistic." But you did something you didn't know anything about. You had a problem, and you figured out how to solve it. Can you sort of walk us through how that works? How you find manufacturers? How you find designers and go through this whole process?
Well, it took me 5 years to find the manufacturer that I'm working with now, and it's basically because of the scale of the shoe business. Back in the early 80s, this country had many small shoe manufacturing plants, but they started to consolidate and to send all their business overseas. So now, today, over 90%, almost 100% of the shoes that we are wearing today are made probably in China. Mm-hmm. And even China is starting to subcontract out to even poorer countries that for lower wages. Wow. And that puts our shoes at a price point that's very, very difficult to compete on a small level. It's hard to the labor costs are higher. The materials costs are higher. The materials are a big problem because I'm buying in small quantity. And I find something I want to use, like I sourced all my own materials, some of the cushioning and protective materials that I build into my shoes were developed through our space program, through NASA. And I put together this combination that's just wonderful. But when I try to order it, they say, well, how many thousands of feet do you want to order?
And you're like, well, I just want to try to make one first.
Right. I'd like to make – I just need one sheet. Thank you. And that is a whole different set of problems. But I do manufacture them on a one-to-one basis. Each order is slightly different. And they're truly customized to as best as we can to the needs of each individual person. And I've worked out almost a formula of trying to correct the design flaws that are so common in fashion shoes that make them so treacherous. And I address each area and try to correct it the best it can be corrected in terms of cushioning, protection, heel elevation, arch support, the accommodating toe box, adjustable features. And I have a great designer who's a second-generation manufacturer in the United States, and he brings all of these elements together in every single style for the Lady Jane line.
Well, I bet he loves what he does, too, because he's actually helping people out. And also, the cool thing about this is you have the uniqueness of it also, because someone's wearing that, oh, what are you wearing? Oh, I'm wearing Lady Jane. These are unique. These are one-of-a-kind shoes right there. So
a lot of times they are. That's right.
Exactly. So you're custom-fitting them for your customer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you keeping the cost down and making it affordable for them, too, to stay stylish and comfortable, or...?
Well, the price point tends to be at the low end of the luxury scale, and it's a real bargain if you know custom shoemaking.
And that's huge. My now fiance has been telling me all about it, and it baffles me when I see a pair of shoes. I'm like, those were how much? Okay, well, that's more than my computer.
Well, this is kind of not what I was going to talk about, but it's fascinating to me. I was doing some research for an article that I recently wrote for the Women's Lawyers Association. And there's a shoe museum in this country. And the curator mentioned that in the 80s, the shoe industry was getting some backlash from the feminist movement because articles were being written about how treacherous heels were, you can't run from a predator, that sort of thing. So the fashion industry designed very consciously a way to get around that. And they made heels even more treacherous. This is when the 5-inch, 4-inch, huge platforms, you know, crazy designs all started, and they marketed them as a status symbol.
Okay.
And they put these incredible price tags on them, and this is when you started to see the $600 to now over $1,000 pairs of shoes. And they're utterly dysfunctional. And they may be beautiful, if you think in those terms, but they truly are damaging. And you do assume an enormous amount of risk if you try to wear them on a regular basis. And the damage that you do to your body is cumulative. It may not show up in your 20s, but you'll start feeling it in your 30s, and by the 40s, you may not even be able to wear a dress shoe again. So that's the scale of the risk.
What are you doing to sort of make people more aware of that? Because I know the fashion industry probably hides all that, and it's all about perception in the fashion industry.
True. And originally I started marketing my line in conjunction with fashion lines and doing trunk shows, and I had them in a custom clothier. They did very well there. But with the downturn in the economy, those small businesses all sort of went away. And I decided this might be a good point to rethink how these shoes were presented and change the – what I'd really love to do is change the paradigm of thinking the way women think about their shoes, because they're so much more important than just a fashion accessory. Women are used to buying multiple pairs of shoes for every outfit, filling their closet up with shoes they wear once or twice, and they are spending a tremendous amount of money on those shoes.
But it's an investment. It really is. I'm starting to learn this business.
It's not if you can't wear them.
Yes, exactly.
And a real investment is shoes that will be go-to shoes. You know you can count on them. If you have to have them all day, you can do it. If you want to go and have fun at your special occasion, you can actually enjoy wearing them. And that should be the real focus. And so I moved my show line to a podiatry practice that also had a foot spa connected to it. And they're very forward-thinking in terms of emphasizing health and beauty, which all women are really,
definitely,
you know, really want. And that's more in line with the theory about behind my shoes. And they are beautiful. People do want to wear them. And they're classically beautiful, so they never go out of style. And that's where I am now, and it's working very nicely. It's different. People are not looking for me because they don't know I exist. So that's why I'm very pleased to be here today.
Well, definitely, too. But I think that also might play to your advantage, too, to being sort of the best-kept secret. It's going to get past word of mouth, and people are going to be like, oh, these are healthy. Because we're living in a health-centric and health-aware society right now. I mean, we have organic. Everyone's eating organic. Everyone wants a local farm everything, not processed food, and everyone's aware of health and also wanted to be beautiful, like you said. So I think
right.
That worked to your advantage, that you're the best kept secret.
Well, I hope so.
Definitely. So what's next for you guys? What are you planning to do in the near future?
We're planning a few events and some advertising and growing the practice.
Perfect. All right. Well, tell me a little bit about Chamber and Heels, and you said you've been there since the beginning of the Chamber and Heels. So have you seen it evolved, and what's the best part about it?
Oh, I love it. It's a wonderful group of women. It changes constantly, and women are very sympathetic to each other's problems, I believe. And so we're very happy to network with each other, to help out when we can. And the best thing is that it raises the awareness of what businesses are present in our community and how we can support each other. And especially now with the traffic problems, with the increased population, women are looking for local services. They don't want to spend an hour and a half trying to get into Buckhead to go to a store and then come back. They want to know what's available to them right under, in a convenient way. So we emphasize and try to promote all of our businesses.
Well, yeah, and like Dunwoody sort of hype, they have a hyper-local aspect to them, too. And there's like a bubble, and then there's Atlanta. And I mean, business is done a little differently. I think it's a little nicer in Dunwoody than it would be in a Buckhead or in Atlanta. So.
Well, thank you.
Well, how do our listeners reach out and contact you and give them that storefront location so they can go get a foot massage and get some comfortable, good-looking shoes?
Well, Primera Podiatry is located on Hammond and Peachtree Dunwoody Road. And you can get the address from my website, which is LadyJaneShoes.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, we have Tracy Sampson with Tracy with an I Graphic Design. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your company and also how you got involved, how long you've been with the Chamber.
My company is roughly 3.5 years old. I started it after I was laid off my other job in December of 08, after 10 years of being an in-house graphic designer there.
Okay.
My father's an entrepreneur, and he still has his own business. And he said, why don't you start your own business? And I said, oh, okay. And so I started in 2010, and I am a print designer. I specialize in print, which is logo design, brochures, business card design, anything your business needs to stand out from the crowd, basically, to get your name out there. I create all those great things for your business.
That's great. And Atlanta's a great market for that, too, because there's so much business out there. Even these big firms, they can't handle it all. So do you specialize in more smaller boutique businesses? Or?
That's what I have, smaller businesses, some startups, real estate businesses, and just more local, smaller
definitely
businesses.
Well, I'm sure you like that too, because it's more intimate. You get to know the business, and they know that you actually care about their business. They're not just a client to you, and vice versa. So
I do. I really like to meet with people face to face and discuss what their needs are. I like to sit down with them and really get into what they're looking for and what they're feeling with their business. A lot of times they don't know, and sometimes they do know exactly what they want, but they just can't translate it, or they can't do
they
what
can't they
I
can't
do.
Put it on paper. So
exactly.
So how does that engagement work? And when you get in front of them, do you give them certain options? How much input do they have? Because I used to be in sort of a design. I used to do a lot of video work, and I remember clients would come in. They'd be like, they'd watch something I edited up, and they're like, "That's great, but I want more razzle dazzle." And I go, "Okay, all right." And then I look at everyone in the room and be like, "What is razzle dazzle? Like, is that the kind of thing, or do they have
you
better
do have
input?
To interpret and understand what you think they mean, or basically what you really have to kind of always be a mind reader, even though they say something. They might not mean exactly what they're saying, but really I like to give multiple options so that if you like a piece of something and a piece of another thing, we can meld it together and get exactly what they're looking for.
All right, so how many designs do you do for somebody for like a logo to give them options? How many options is...
Usually logo design, I give between 4 to 6 different options.
Wow.
And you get basically 2 revisions. And then past that, then you have to talk about something else. But
definitely. Oh, so
yeah, no, I give you, I don't come to you and say, here's the one that you get, and that's all you get for the price. You get multiple things to choose from because most people have different ideas in their head. Mm-hmm. I have different ideas in my head, so you might want to go in one direction. So you can't have just one option.
Well, I liked what you said there, that you give them – there's 6 options. They get 2 revisions. That's very business-minded. You have to mm-hmm. do that too, because if you give people time to just keep tweaking it, they're going to waste your time, to be honest, and just push you over the limit.
Well, you also have to think that they are not necessarily coming from a creative area. And so that, yes, they can – you can overwhelm them with too many options as well. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, why can't I have 20? Well, 20, you won't know where to start. You won't know where to end. You will overwhelm yourself. So that's why I make sure that you get enough, but not too much.
Yeah. Well, I realized it a lot. My fiance, she's a graphic designer. So I see how much time goes into it. Beforehand, I would have been completely ignorant of, you show me a logo and they're like, well, this costs this much. And I'd be like, why would that cost that much? Because there's so much time just researching. Sketching, there's so many things that go into it that people don't realize. Do you ever have to, because you're dealing with smaller businesses, do you have to really educate them of that, or do they really sort of grasp it and understand it?
Some do, some don't. And so you do have to explain sometimes, or if they come back to you and say, oh, that's not the price I was looking for, then you have to kind of come back. You can't say, okay, thanks, have a good life. You know, you kind of have to be like, well, listen, I just wanted to let you know this is why it is, and this is what I do. And as you know, you can kind of actually relate it back to what they do usually.
Definitely.
And how much time it takes for them to do what they do for their business.
All right. I love that too. And you've been connected in the industry. So I'm sure when someone comes to you and if you're not the perfect fit for them, you go, well, I know someone that can really help you out in this industry.
Well, when it comes to print design, normally I don't have to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying print design. I'm saying when someone comes to you with something else that's
yes, like I don't create websites, you know.
Yeah.
So I do work with other people, and we collaborate, and we send each other, you know, work. If they don't do something and I do, and if I don't do something and they do, and we have a very collaborative group of people, creatives, that I work with.
Well, what advice would you give to someone breaking out in the industry? Because, unfortunately, graphic design is a very oversaturated industry now. I know those for-profit schools grabbed onto it and are picking kids off the street. But what advice would you give to somebody going into this industry? What do they need to do to sort of learn the ropes and be successful in it?
Patience is one thing, which I didn't have a lot of. And you have to kind of learn that. It doesn't happen overnight. Things don't happen overnight. Connections don't happen overnight. And you really have to come, I think, outside your box. You know, I was very comfortable with my job over 10 years at the same place, doing what I was doing. And so coming and becoming an entrepreneur is a whole different ball game. And you really have to stick to your guns, know what you want. You also have to get out there and network, and not over-network and not oversaturate, but really think of the things or go to the places that you think you will get the most business and stick with those.
And did you sort of have your experience was you did that, you got your first couple clients, and then it sort of snowballed out of referrals because they referred you to some of their other friends?
Yes, referrals were great. I have wonderful reviews on Yelp. .com and testimonials on LinkedIn and things like that. And so people see the positives and they start to contact you, which I think is pretty great.
And is there any kind of test or internship someone should go through to see if they have, and not to be mean to any of those kids out there, but there's a certain skill level you have to be in this industry and be successful. And it sounds good if you're on, a lot of people are good on computers, so they're like, well, I can use Photoshop. Well, you know, there's a lot more to design than being able to run a program.
That is correct. I went to school. Yeah. I went and graduated from the University of Georgia with a BFA in fine art, drawing and painting, and then I went to school again for graphic design at Kennesaw State University. So you can be self-taught. People do that all the time, but you have to have basics. You have to know space, layout, color. I mean, there's certain things that you could say, oh, I learned it myself, and sometimes you can see that they learned it themselves, but I think it's always smart to, if you are a self-taught, to latch on to someone or talk to someone who is has a little more skill set or a little more knowledge, true knowledge about it, and then go, kind of learn from there.
So you'd say that sort of fine art background and being able to either paint or draw or do something that's actually like very technical, artistically, understand that, that's the key to going to graphic design. You can't just, some people can, there's always exceptions to the rule, but you shouldn't if you're not a designer, you shouldn't just use a program.
I think it's a bonus. I was able to draw since I was a kid. I never took a class. I can see, if I look at something, I can draw it.
Okay.
So it's kind of a skill that was just, wasn't taught. So that was a big blessing for me. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to know how to draw per se, but I think you really have to have your mind in a way.
A design sort of way.
Exactly. And if you don't and you really want to do it, I would suggest schooling because they teach you that.
Okay.
If you don't have it innately in you.
So what's next for you? Are you happy where you're at with the amount of clients? Do you want to grow this and become a bigger firm? And I don't know if you have more graphic designers that actually work for you right now.
No, I'm small. It's just me. but I would, of course, like to grow. I'm pretty much a new business.
Still 3.5 years. That's you've made it. You made it past that 2-year point. So.
Is that what it is? Two years? Oh, I thought it was 7 or something. Wasn't it a 7-year or is that a restaurant? I don't know. I know that, 2010 I was setting up, so I kind of don't count that. But this year, it started off great. Last year was a great year. And yes, I find that each year it grows a little more and more clients. So I'm always looking for new clients to create for and design for. And I don't have any goals on having people work for me or anything like that. But if that happens, that'd be great.
Well, I'm sure you could pick up some interns that could learn a lot from you, too. So it'd be a beneficial trade-off.
That would be pretty fabulous.
So tell me a little bit about your experience with Chamber and Heels.
Well, I've been a Dalmany Chamber member since 2010 when I started my business. My father is a original member. He helps start the Dalmany Chamber, and he said to me, "You're starting your business. Come meet these great people. They could help you out." And so I did, and I actually ended up creating the Dalmany Music Festival logo for them my first year in.
That's huge. So you pointed. I bet you're pointing to all your friends. Like, yep, I did that.
No big deal. You should see the photos on my on my website and Facebook page. Yeah. So I created the logo and everything that came with it, and it was a lot of fun, and it was great experience and great opportunity. And when they decided to do a women's group, I decided that I wanted to be on the committee. And so what I do for them is I created their logo, I do their graphic, the flyers, I do all the social media promotions and all that good stuff.
And we're very thankful.
Very
thanks,
awesome.
Thanks, Beth.
Well, let's give a shout out to your dad. He sounds absolutely amazing. And
my dad's Andrew Sampson, SAAI. He's a fabulous IT guy.
All right. Well, give us your contact information so people can reach out and get some print media done.
You can find me at tracywithani.com. You have to spell it out. But and then 404-525-9494 is my office number.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Beth, you brought some wonderful ladies today. Such a great show.
I did.
So let's recap with all the events going on in Dunwoody.
Okay. I would like to add two events that I did not speak of earlier. And one is March 28th. And it is our Engage Dunwoody Luncheon. It's a first annual that we are doing with the city, and we're honoring corporations that match up some of the same goals that they have with nonprofit organizations, and they give back to the community, which is really important. And I think this is a start of a really, really cool project that the city and the chamber are doing for the corporations and the nonprofits in the Dunwoody community. That's at La Meridian Hotel at 11:30 a.m. on March 28th. March 29th is a ribbon cutting at UFC Gym, and they just joined the chamber, and that's at noon. So, but you can find out all of our events at dunwoodycommerce.org. in the calendar of events section. But don't forget about tonight is our ladies' night out with the Sandy Springs Chamber and the Dunwoody Chamber.
I'm jealous.
Women in Heels. Sorry that you can't come.
Enjoy the steaks.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Beth Summers and the Dunwoody Chamber and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.